Tonight's not the 27th, is it? No. Okay, good. Phew. I do not have to take the
time. Not yet. 26th.
Okay. All right, good.
Oh, hello, everyone. It's Molly. It's October 26th. Thank Welcome you. Back to Make Me Smart, where we are here, as usual, to help make today make sense. We will also be attempting to make sense of our calendars in real time.
I just had one of those things popped up, and it said, take the dog to the vet for shots. And I was like, oh, my God, if I'm supposed to take the dog to the vet for shots, and I'm here doing this, then something's not happening that's supposed to. But it's tomorrow, so never fear. Whew. Whatever that was all about. Sorry.
See, we're fine now.
There we go. We worked it
all
out.
We got this.
We worked it all out.
It's all making sense.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we will do what we always do on a Monday, which is a little bit of news, a little bit of make me smile, and then we'll be on our merry way. Ms. Wood, would you care to go first?
Absolutely. I see that a lot of us have the same thing the mind. After this weekend, in which it apparently, at least if CNN, if White House officials on CNN are to be believed, it appeared to become the official position of the White House and the President of the United States that COVID cannot be combated in any way whatsoever.
We got to
live with it. We surrender. The president is now tweeting that the fake media is going to ride COVID, COVID, COVID all the way to the polls.
Yeah.
So now that we are officially on our own, I am happy to see. I believe that Americans can still do better and want to do better because nobody actually wants to get this thing and die from it. And so I was happy to see that the former FDA commissioner, Scott Gottlieb, wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying it is time, leaving aside the far past time, but it's time to pursue a national mask mandate. He said, we're dangerously behind the curve in confronting rising COVID spread across the U.S. We need to maximize steps that are less intrusive now so that we can minimize those that are more disruptive later. As in, you can have your economy back if you all wear masks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even, I mean, what's so astonishing about a statement of straight up giving up is that three layers of cloth are actually one of the most potent weapons by all accounts at this point. Like, leave aside any confusion from months ago. By all accounts, up to and including the CDC director himself saying that this is probably more, that masks are probably a more powerful weapon than a vaccine in the near term. Just this.
That thing about you can have your economy back if we start wearing masks, that's kind of where I was going to go with my thing today, because as we know, today's Monday, the stock market looked around and said, oh my God, Europe's shutting down and there's no relief coming and the pandemic is real and getting worse in the United States, and the stock market, you know, tanked itself because now it has finally gotten to its senses, although there will probably be a rally tomorrow. I think that's really the thing that I don't understand why the people who... And we've talked about this before. Donald Trump could have run for the past 6 months on buckle down, we'll get the economy back, and it'll be okay. And he'd be doing a lot better right now. And I just don't understand how nobody in his circle saw that. Or maybe they did, and his force of willful blindness just overwhelmed everything. But that was, it to me, is just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I saw... I don't want to jump ahead to your thing, but I saw this article that you posted here about how pandemic fatigue is real and it's spreading. And I will say, actually, I'm kind of glad you posted this because I read it earlier this morning and just had a fit over the framing. The idea that, you know, pandemic fatigue is real and nobody wants to have lockdowns again and everyone's so tired of this and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, like, I think the fatigue comes in for the people who have been doing
That's exactly
it was best
right.
for their communities for months and months and months. Exactly but to even right. suggest that, like, everyone's tired and no one should have to do that. First of all, there are plenty of places where it didn't happen, where shutdowns didn't happen and now people are dying. And it is not, like, the idea that it's either lockdown or we have to live with it. Again.
Right.
Completely ignores A, the fact that everyone could be wearing a mask. And like most people are, the vast majority of people at this point are wearing masks. Everyone needs to be. And it needs to stop being a conversation. And then what really infuriated me about the framing of this pandemic fatigue thing is that all along, because there wasn't really a focus, there's never been a conversation, a real conversation about, okay, how can you see your family? How can you see one other family? How can you create a bubble? In New Zealand, where they, A, not only got the virus under control, but B, for the most part, kept everyone from having a complete mental health collapse in the process of getting the virus under control, they talked about bubbles. Like, with a testing, a national testing strategy, you could probably have frequent enough testing that you could say, me and this household are going to team up so that we don't lose it, so that we are able to take care of each other. And instead, the only conversation we ever had was like, can you or can you not get a haircut or go to the store?
That's right.
So yes, people are tired of not going to the store, but what they're really tired of is not seeing their friends or family, which they could do if we had an infrastructure in place to allow it. I am literally getting like red in the face
now. So I'm just going
to... Would you like to talk now?
No, here's my news fix. You ready? Here's mine. What Molly said. Just what Molly said. What Molly said. That's it. That's it.
So mad right now.
It's craziness, right? I mean, there are many, many millions of people who've been doing the exact right thing, right? Who are keeping the kids inside and not seeing anybody and washing hands and wearing 14 masks and all of this jazz. And then there's some that aren't. And yeah. So that's my news fix. What Molly said. That's what I got. Super quick before
we move on.
Hang on. Super quick before we move on. I need to correct something on Friday. We were talking about the deep dive that we had done on Tuesday into I was about to say dark matter, but it's not physics. It's dark money, which is money in politics. And I said we had talked to Heidi Sherholtz at the Center for Responsive Politics. It wasn't Heidi Sherholtz. It was Sheila Krumholtz. She was the one who gave us all the good wisdom on dark money in politics. And thank you to Kimberly Adams for actually listening to the podcast this morning and pinging me at like 6:05 this morning on Slack and saying, hey, man, hate to be the downer, but you got it wrong. So my apologies to Ms. Krumholtz for that. Anyway, that's that.
Good correction.
There we go.
I want to do a story. I want to do a dark matter episode. Someday we are going to live in a world where we just do an episode on like dark matter. Because politics is boring. Doesn't that sound awesome? I can't wait.
Do you remember when politics was boring? I mean, I've forgotten what it's like. Truly, I have forgotten what it's like not to have political news and the president of the United States just be a fire hose.
Yep.
Truly.
Yep.
And it's just wearying.
Yeah.
You know?
Stop the madness.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, you know what can stop madness? A puppy can stop madness. I've got two items, one of which is an article in the Wall Street Journal I found today about puppy delivery people. So a lot of people buy dogs from breeders. They're out of state, blah, blah, blah. Journal Today did a story on a bunch of the people whose job it is to escort those puppies. And yes, puppy mills, that's not what this is, I understand. But just get a puppy, give it a hug, scratch behind its ears. It'll, like, you know, probably pee all over you, but that's fine, too, because it's a puppy. I'm just saying.
I like really want to quit my job and become a puppy
nanny. I thought about doing this.
Nanny.
I thought about doing this. I was like, I could totally do that. I could totally,
so
do
fun.
That. I'm just gonna fly
a
around
flight
the country
nanny.
With puppies. Yeah, here you go.
Here's your puppy. That is the dream. Everyone's nice to you.
I know. You get to see the kids on the receiving end going, "Yay, our new puppy!" And you're like Santa Claus, except with a dog.
I mean, that looks amazing. Also, I encourage you if you have a subscription to the Wall Street Journal to look at this story because it just has so many cute puppy pictures.
That's a good one. It is an amazing one. Okay. My second one is billionaires. They're slightly crazy. Here's the deal. So Bill Gross, who used to work at PIMCO, he's a billionaire, did a lot of bond trading, really well known in the investment world. He's got some gazillion dollar house in Laguna Beach. And apparently he also has a $1 million outdoor glass sculpture. Right. OK. It's by Dale Chihuly, who's a really well-known glass blowing artist. Anyway, he's got this sculpture. It apparently had been damaged by something. He thinks the neighbors threw rocks at it. But so he put a net up to shield himself from his from his other billionaire neighbor. Right. Who doesn't like this glass thing. And apparently it's become a tit for tat between these two billionaires or many, many millions of heirs on the neighbor side. And what he is doing to annoy the neighbor is Bill Gross is playing the Gilligan's Island theme song really loud over and over and over again so that they can just hate each other. And I just think that's, billionaires are crazy too. And who knows? Maybe they've got pandemic fatigue. Maybe they just can't take it anymore. But Bill Gross at PIMCO in Laguna Beach playing the Gilligan's Island theme song on a loudspeaker at all hours on a loop to annoy his neighbor gave me a little chuckle today because my bar is apparently very low. That's it. That's what I got.
Neighbors. Yeah. No matter where you go.
I know, right?
There they are.
That's right.
Like, you can be pretty rich, but you still get to have an annoying neighbor. This is amazing.
Isn't that great?
Also, who puts a super delicate glass sculpture outside?
I don't know. Well, look, if you're a billionaire and the sculpture only costs $1 million, whatever. Pocket change.
Apparently. Except then you get so mad about it that you put an ugly net over it. This is amazing. I love this story. Yeah. This is amazing. Okay, good.
Three
I like it.
Hour tour, three
true
hour
confession tour. Time.
Yes, what?
I am also on the verge of bursting into song and have been ever since Saturday. Because, like,
pray tell.
Dude, do you remember a long time ago, actually, Saturday Night Live did a skit about how hard it is to talk to your family about politics and nobody's getting along, but everyone does get, but then as soon as someone starts playing Adele's Hello from the other side, Hello, then all of a sudden everyone's getting along because everybody can't help but sing it.
Right.
So it was like Adele brings America together, which she totally did
she totally
on Saturday.
Did. She was great,
Saturday Night Live has just been not great this season. It just hasn't been.
I agree with that.
And this week's cold open actually was one of the worst things I've ever seen. You can't spoof something that's so already such satire.
Yep.
You know, like it's just not. But then the rest of the show started. And she was
amazing.
And the skit in particular that I cannot stop laughing about is The Bachelor.
Yes.
Where she just keeps, like, she's crazy girlfriend and keeps just bursting into song and singing all her really dramatic, like, breakup songs. Oh, my God.
And
they're
her songs, and she was amazing, and it was cool. It was great.
Right, because everybody was, like, afraid she wasn't going to sing, and then, thank God, she's all, hello, from, like,
oh, my God.
Yes, Adele, she brought us together again. She did it again.
Okay.
Adele saves America. Doesn't even have to. She's totally British. Doesn't, you know, no skin in the game at all. It was wonderful.
And we will
go
watch it again. Out on that one. Done with The Daily Show for a Monday. The dulcet tones of Molly Wood singing a little Adele.
Yeah,
we'll be back tomorrow with a Tuesday.
I'll keep doing it.
Get the hook. Tuesday deep dive. Gerontocracy. Look it up if you don't know what it means. But the youth vote in the 2020 election. Old people vote. Young people usually don't. So here's the deal. We've got an ask. If you are under 30 or if you know somebody who is under 30 and you're voting for the first time in this election, we need to hear from you because the youth vote in this country is incredibly important. Why are you coming out this time if this is the first time that you have voted? Send your comments. Make me smart at marketplace.org. Voice memos. Please
tell us. Like, literally tell us, because we know you're out there. We keep hearing that it's been elusive, the youth vote. Yeah. It is unpredictable. I believe it may be largely uncounted in some ways because they're not picking up landlines for polls. Like, we need info. Record yourself on your smartphone. You know how, because you're under 30, and then email it to us. We'll see you then.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, who is wonderful and probably hoping that I will stop singing someday. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, who I think had similar thoughts about Saturday Night Live I saw on the tweeter. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Drew Jostad is on the other side of the studio glass for me pushing the buttons. Our theme music was composed by Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez. Donna Tam is the senior producer. The executive director of On Demand is Juan Starnieves. And that's it. We're out.
And in case all of you have been wondering, Bridget had the baby.
She did, yeah.
And it's so cute because babies are the best. Babies and puppies. That's all I want babies from now until next Tuesday.
That's what we should make this podcast all about, babies and puppies.
That would be amazing. Like, just get some baby and puppy sounds.
That's the damn deep dive. Babies and puppies.
That's beautiful.